know this. The greatest thing that you can do as a son or daughter of God is to learn the simple process of yielding to my presence. To know that you can do nothing to cause me to love you as a father any more than what I already do. Amen. So it is for you a great humbling experience. But the greatest pleasure I have is to lavish my love on individuals that learn to yield their members to me, saith the Spirit of grace.
Hallelujah.
For the greatest pleasure that you can bring me in this life, while it is called now, is for you to pursue me in spirit and in truth. For that spiritual effort, that you put forth as in faith, believing that my grace is sufficient to cover you and to keep you and to bring you into my presence. As you pursue my presence and pursue a relationship with me beyond anything else in this life that could bring competition, know this, this is my greatest pleasure that I find in my Son, in you, saith the Spirit of grace.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We ministered last Wednesday out of the book of the Song of Solomon concerning the beloved and the bridegroom. One thing that was really peculiar was he kept appearing and then disappearing. He kept coming to the bride and then pulling himself away, and she couldn't find him. The mystery was this, that God will come to you and he'll kiss you, but then he'll convey himself away to see if you'll go hunt for him, to see if you'll follow him. And all that is the pursuit of a lifestyle and a yieldedness. It's not just now, but it is now in these corporate times. Whether you'll begin to yield yourself and pursue Him with all diligence and everything inside of you. He wants you to go find Him. He's not lost. He's just standing in His own presence, but He's shrouded by the place of whether or not you'll come and love Him, adore Him with everything that you possibly can muster within yourself. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. He said again, some people are real impressed with power, and that's my hand. But I want to kiss you with the kisses of my mouth, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. Praise. Yes, sir. The one thing that he didn't want you to know, he's overwhelmingly pleased with you. He loves you. How many are glad to know that He loves you? See, I know if He loves the church across town, has the faintest idea about worship, and they just come in and just a sterile environment and preach Jesus. And if one person got saved in that year, He loves them beyond words. So when you begin to pursue and call a city saved and then come in and begin to pursue God and say, God, we've got to have a revival. And He's real pleased with you. And I say that to say this. We're all about not religion. We're all about Him taking every service. See, I don't know any other way. And really, according to the Word, it is you enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. So it's proper we come in here and begin to lift Him up. And then ask the Holy Spirit and all of everything that we're doing to begin to take over. But if you don't think that I don't want, and know that you also want a cascade of presence that begins to take over and turns this place upside down until we don't even look like ourselves anymore. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want difference just because of difference, but I want difference because Jesus takes over. Hallelujah. Paul wrote about, and he wrote to Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy, he said, Timothy, stay away from fables. You know what a fable is? He said, teach sound doctrine. Stay away from fables. Fables are what men come up with their own mind and then they add to the gospel. See, Mary can't do nothing for you. She can't save you. She can't provide a miracle for you. She can't do anything. She's a wonderful lady, but she's real sad about the way humanity has treated her. Mary's never provided one miracle on planet Earth. Never. It's always been through the Lord Jesus. But I'm saying that to say this. I'm not coming against them. I'm saying that's religion. We saw that. But let me ask you something. Let me just ask you. Wouldn't it also be religion of also a sort if we come in here every week and just go through a format and say, okay, this is the segment where we worship. And then Pastor Brock's probably going to get up and take something and say something. And maybe there'll be a prophecy. Listen, I want Him, the God of all thunder, to split this house and actually shake the very foundations of it. To where that people come in, they shake in their boots and they say, my God, God is alive. And the glory of the Lord comes and explodes in this house. And if people are possessed with devils and tormented, they're free. If they've got perversion in their life, they're free. How much can we not also enter into our own religion? Even though we look at those things and see those things and say, that's religion. We can enter into our own religion if we settle. I will not settle. In Jesus' name. Glory be to God. I will not settle. I would rather die than to just have church. I want people shaking under the power of God. I want people saying, oh, there's something strange going on over there. If they talk about us, I pray to God they talk about us all the more in the days ahead. If they've called us a cult, I pray to God they call us all the more a cult in the days ahead. Because I want the power of God in here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus said this, be very careful when men speak good of you. Oh, that turns things around. Everybody likes me where I work. Everybody likes me in all of my field of influence. When you drive into a city, ask them if you're trying to find a church. Go to a pastor's meeting and ask him, who do you guys think is the craziest pastor in this city? Which one would you not let preach in your church? Go join that man's ministry. Hallelujah. Because religion is usually opposite from God. Hey, how many of you'd like to hear from Miss Callie Pearl? Come on. Callie, bring this house into order and down. Hallelujah.
Yes. Oh, God. Oh, yes, Lord. Lord, you're worthy. You're so worthy, Lord. Unto you, Lord, hallelujah. Unto you, Lord, I say thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing and for all that you do. For every time, Lord, you brought me through. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. From me to you, Lord. Unto you. Hallelujah. Unto you, my Lord, I say thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing, and for all that you're doing, and for every time, Lord, you brought me through. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, from me to you. I'm singing this here this morning. This is just a praise. It's just a praise to the Lord. And I'm not just saying it this morning. I sing it all the time. Hallelujah, Jesus. I just want to say that God's been good to me. He's been good to me. I used to be so afraid to get to my mom's age when she passed. She died when she was young. I used to be so afraid. I didn't want to get to that age. I said, Lord, don't let me die when I get to that age. And I done come way past that age. And I said, Lord, I just thank you. And my sister didn't make it. She died at that age. And me and her used to always talk about it. Would we pass at the age that our mom did? Because a hereditary disease that go through the family. And I said, well, Lord, I don't want to do that. That's not what I want. I want to just live my life out as long as God will let me live it and not have to be worried about death. But it was so present, and my sister just had it so on her mind. She got what she spoke. She said, you reckon we going to live to see 50 years old. My mom died when she was 47. And my sister would always say, Lord, will we live, me and my sister live to see 50 years old? My sister turned 50 in March, and in September she died. And I said, she got what she always talked about. And I don't want no part of that. I want to live on and on and on to glorify God, and he's letting me do that. And I overlook all, I have some complications. I'm not going to say I'm all well. No, I'm not. I'm not all well, but I give all praise and honor to God for allowing me to be here, to be in the number another time, to be of some service to Him one more time, and, you know, as long as He would have me to do it. And I'm just so thankful. You know, I sang these little praises. I said, well, maybe to you all, you might say, well, she sang that all the time. Oh, yes, I do. I sing it all the time. Because I truly, truly thank the Lord from where He brought me from up until this present time. And I believe He's going to carry me on. I'm not looking to go anywhere. And y'all pray for me. Unto you, Lord, hallelujah. Unto you, my Lord, I say thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing, for all that you've done, and for every time, Lord, you brought me through. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, from me to you, Lord, unto you, Lord. Hallelujah. Unto you, my Lord, I say thank you, Jesus, for all that you're doing, and for all that you've done, and for every time, Lord, Lord, you brought me through. Hallelujah. Oh, I say thank you, Jesus, from me to you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I say thank you, Jesus, from me to you. Hallelujah.
The only part of that that I just couldn't grasp is the part that she said she'd gotten past that age. Callie, this is church. You can't lie any place, but especially in church. Man, you're talking about separation? You need to read the separation that was between the world and Egypt and all the... He said He gave him a pillar of fire by night. That was 40 years. Even, listen, this is a rebellious people. This is a rebellious people whose carcass fell in the wilderness. And yet, in their rebellion, I'm saying, how much more in Jesus Christ? You could stand up on one of those Sinai Peninsula mountains and look, if you were up high enough, and you could see their camp over in the valley if there was 2 million of them. But if it was a bright, sunny day and there was no cloud precipitation, then what you'd see is, I can picture, I know exactly how it must have looked like. You could see in the distance, a huge cloud, just a circular cloud that was just hovered. Probably looked like a spaceship. Because the Bible says the cloud kept them cool by day. And the fire, the pillar of fire was by night. In 130 degree temperature, just inside the cloud. If he was doing me a favor, he'd probably had that thermostat set down in the 60s. If you went out there outside of the cloud, it was probably just boiling hot. But there was a cloud over those probably 2 million Jews wherever they went for 40 years. they had a cloud. And then, of course, if you read anything, you know the desert drops about 80 degrees. It'll get down to the teens at night, maybe sub-zero. Then they had a furnace going in the night. It was a pillar of fire. The clouds switched all day long. They had air conditioning. Beautiful air conditioning all day long. And then at night they had a pillar of fire. Hey, that's Jehovah. That's their God who has become our God. And now we stand inside of Jesus Christ. And the whole picture of that is this. Don't sell yourself short. Believe that you are not. Believe that you have a pillar of fire by night and a cloud of smoke by day. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Well, that group that was here last week is here again this week. And we're going to try them again. They did a great job last week. They didn't practice this week. And the guitar player was at camp all week. And he's so tired. But he's been energized this morning. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
A mother barely 20 out there on her own. A teenage boy in prison before he's even grown. The illness of a loved one, a widow no one calls. But there is one solution, an answer for it all. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is hope, there is strength, and victory. Church that needs revival, maybe a broken man and wife, but in the name of Jesus, chains of bondage fall. You see, prayers are heard and answered when God's children call, and there is power in the name of Jesus. There is holy presence, and there is power in His name.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is hope, there is strength, and victory to claim. There is healing in His holy presence. There is power in His name.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is hope, there is strength, and victory to claim. There is healing in His holy presence. And there is power.
There is hope, there is with strength and victory to claim. There is healing in His holy presence. There is power in His name.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is hope.
Hallelujah. That was real good. Hallelujah. Love anointed stuff. The governor of Texas is holding held a big prayer meeting. He's taking a lot of persecution for it. Thousands and thousands. He was praying for the country and I guess revival. So what's his name? Perry, is it? Father, we lift him up. Any grassroots prayer meetings across our nation, we're for. If it's calling on Jesus, and we pray for this man, we pray that God, that you'll put your hand upon him. We pray that you'll deliver him. We thank you, Father, for the persecution, for righteousness' sake. We thank you, Lord, that this will increase because we are light in the middle of darkness. And we pray that God, this man will be strengthened in all of his efforts that you tell him to do. And Lord, we bless him and now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I love you. I'm so thankful to be on a collision course with an outpouring. I am so thankful for these that are walking along this path as well, following you, listening. Our greatest ambition is to be formed into the image of Jesus Christ. And then as a result of what He's asked us to do is to bring forth a harvest, for the bridegroom cometh. And we're excited. We know that you see us in our potential. You see us for where we're headed and what's going to happen. And, oh, I love you, Father. My ambition is to be formed into His image and to, Lord, help my brothers and sisters as they help me as well. Holy Spirit, I love you, sir. So much. Thank you for forming Jesus in us, teaching us, and that companionship. So show us again this image of Christ in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you will, please turn with me to the book of Ephesians. We've been there quite often in the last couple of years. Hallelujah. Today he wants to talk to you about edification, and probably not in the sense of the word that you're used to from this pulpit about what we normally talk about, edification. But I believe that when you hear it, your spirit will agree with it. I believe it'll become another part of the piece of the puzzle that'll take you into Christ. And I believe it'll be something you say, I'm already part of, I recognize my part in this, but all the more am I encouraged by the Holy Spirit and by the Word of God to do what I see that's in front of me. What we really want to talk about this morning is not only edification, we want to talk about edification in the process of your call and your destiny and where you're headed and where you're headed in the end and where you're headed right now. And God wants you to have a sense of destiny. He wants you to have a sense of purpose inside of you. The enemy's one of his number one jobs is to try to come at us and kind of at times to pull the life, if he can, out of us and create a vacuum where we feel like we're useless or we're worthless. We're just existing. But God has a great, great plan, and it's already in existence. It's not coming only, but it is coming. And I want us to look at these verses here. Beginning in the first chapter, I believe. Yes. Verse 16, and this is a prayer that Paul prayed, but we're going to pray, break this prayer down like we broke it down just briefly before in the past and get to the heart of things. Paul is praying here for the church at Ephesus, and this is what he says. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you he mentions two things here, the spirit of wisdom. In other words, the anointing will come upon you for wisdom and revelation, that it might be revealed to you. This wisdom and revelation is for a purpose. It's for this purpose. God wants to reveal to you by His wisdom. He wants to open up your understanding with wisdom and revelation so that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. What do you need to see? There's something you need to see. You need to see what is the hope. You need to know what is the hope of His calling. Now, let's just stop right there for just a moment, because it really behooves me to stop here. When it talks about the hope of His calling, I've read this so many times, and for me, and I believe the more that you read it, even though it talks about God, and He's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's in His humanity, in His deity, He's co-equal with His Father, with the Father. But when it talks about the hope of His calling, our calling comes from God, but it's in Jesus Christ. The mysteries of all revelation is in, Colossians says, this is the mystery of all mysteries, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the Lord of the church. He's the beloved. He's the one. He's the bridegroom coming back. So all of the calls came from Him. In fact, you'll find out in Ephesians 4 that we're about to read in just a moment, is that everything proceeded from Him. When He led captivity captive, the gifts that He gave comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. So your direct commander in chief is not God the Father, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where your call came from. But here Paul says this, I want you to understand this call. Now he says the hope of your calling. Now the word hope means a godly expectation. Now, hope can mean right now, I'm believing for something to happen, but you're still expecting something. It's coming from some place that's not yet. It may be presently when I lay hands on my brother or sister and believe right now, I'm believing it's coming from God. It's not way out there. He's in me. But I believe that a virtue is going to take place. I'm believing that a power. So the word hope here is a word that is, it's really contagious. It's something that's it grips our spirit and says, look, there's something out there that is coming to us. God wants you pregnant with that hope. He wants you spending enough time in His Word and enough time in Him that something inside of you goes around and you feel like, man, I'm weighty with this. I'm looking at, you know, really God is the God of hope. When you talk to God, God's always talking to you about something that's coming up. Now, He'll talk to you about the present. The only thing that He's concerned about the past with you is if anything needs to get healed. But you'll find God doesn't really dwell too much in the past. If you talk to Him about it, if you need to go there to learn something and the Holy Spirit brings it up for any learning purposes, but once you've learned it, it's there. And He doesn't dwell there. I used to like to watch Star Trek, because when they went into, you know, warp 10 or whatever, those stars that were a million miles away were like, whew, whew, whew. I mean, that's hope coming, man, fast. And your future is now, and it's happening right now. And that's how God is. He's the God of hope, and He's bringing things into existence, but He wants you to look forward to them and believe for them. And we're looking forward and we're believing for, we're infatuated with Jesus. And out of that love affair, He's asked us to bring Him a revival and outpouring. And we said, yes. And He keeps saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that. And you say, well, when is that? I can tell you, it's now. Because a lot of stuff has already happened that you can't even see that you've been changed to. You've already been changed to. But still, those stars are coming into existence. Down the road, things are coming up. And Paul says here, I want your eyes opened up to the hope of His calling. That's the calling. Now, the calling is this. You first got called when you got born again. But in your born again experience, there's something inside of you that's a vocation. Paul mentions that in the next few chapters. Your vocation is not your occupation. Your occupation is what you do. Your vocation is your calling. Every single one of you have a calling in here. Some of you are in the fivefold, although you may not be doing this as of yet, and how much of it I don't know that you will do, but I can tell you there's fivefold ministry in here. There's other ministries in here. There's a lot of different things that are in here as far as the calling is concerned. Your first calling is Jesus has called you unto Himself. Come to the Father. Out of that calling is the hope of your calling, which is futuristic, which is saying, come, 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 because I've got a lot for you to do. Hallelujah. This is the hope. And we're looking at that hope continually. He says here, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Now, this inheritance is everything is Christ is to you, in you, and through you. Everything that Christ has given you at the new birth, His peace, His power, His love. We talk a lot about the edification process according to 1 Corinthians 14:4, I believe it is, or 14:8, where it says, he that prayeth in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Meaning you get built up. But there's an edification process that is not only just that, but the Holy Spirit just praying in tongues. But as the Holy Spirit prays in tongues for you, or you pray in tongues, and He gives the utterance, He's building you up, and He is actually forming inside of you the hope of this calling. And we're going to read just a moment what He actually does in that edification process, because where we really want to get to is an edification that takes place in your life, whether you're aware of it all the time. But if you're not aware of it and you allow it to stay dormant, and if you're not understanding what your call is, then you won't give your full potential to it. You'll just believe same old, same old. Now, the Word says here, again, if we can get through this prayer, it says that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance. His inheritance is present. His inheritance is present, meaning I've been born again, but it's also futuristic. One day I'm going to be with Him. I'm going to live with Him in heaven. And the Bible says, guess what? We get to rule and reign with Christ, and we're going to rule over angels. There's not a few of them. The Bible says there's an innumerable host. I mean, man has not counted them yet. And based on the reward, what you do and how much you lose of you, how much of you lose of you and you find Him in this life, you're going to have part of this inheritance. But this is really neat how it works now. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, according to the working of His mighty power, which He brought forth in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities, powers, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but in the world which is to come. And He's placed all things under His feet. How many glad that you're also seated with Him? So if they're under His feet, they're under your feet too. Hallelujah. Next chapter says that. You've been raised up together with Him. And He's put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now let's look over in chapter 3, because this is what really happens to you. I want to describe to you. He describes here to you what really happens to you in the edification process according to 1 Corinthians 14. When the Holy Spirit's praying for you. When the Holy Spirit's praying for you, the first part of your life, if you come into Christ and you got to really, you know, if there's a lot of bad, He's going to work on that bad stuff first. But ultimately, what he's praying for is that you and I come into such a love affair, is that Christ be formed in us, because it's those latter parts of the outer limbs that brings in revival. It's when you fall in love with people, as long as you're having a struggle, just not hating somebody, that's wonderful that you keep going to the Lord and to the Word and claiming that. That's wonderful. Keep that up. It's better that you do that than you despise them, hate them, and want to kill them. That's great. But the only thing is, that's not where revival lives. Revival doesn't live in you clinging to the cross to try to keep from hating somebody. Revival lives when that's so far under the cross is that you're in a place where you're being changed from glory to glory. And this is what the Holy Spirit is doing for you and I. He's praying for us that we'll fall so in love with Jesus that in turn we'll fall so in love with one another and with people, and not the people that treat us good, the people that treat us bad. That if we can love them that much, then we've got enough character that he can flow some kind of power vein through us called revival. Hallelujah. And then there's going to be a lot of persecution with that, and I don't really like that part, honestly. Because we're not going to be able to pull this thing off without being maligned. And I don't know, I hope most of you stick with me. I believe you will if you pray in tongues and love God. Because you won't be following me, you'll be following Him. But if my name is cast out among the world as being a bad person, and you know I'm not a bad person, but it's come as persecution for righteousness, hopefully you'll be able to stay on the train. But there will be persecution. So that's why we get strong now. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Why'd you go there, Pastor? We could have enjoyed the whole service without that. Hallelujah. Will you stick with your brother when he's in persecution? The question. He says this. Let's read this. Verse 14. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father." Verse 14 of 3. "The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit." Where? The inner man. "That Christ will dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you may be." And here's the whole subject matter of this prayer. Rooted and grounded. And everybody tell me what? Thank you. Rooted and grounded in love. Why? Because He wants us again, as He prayed in the other one, have a comprehension, a revelation, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints. And He tries to describe this love. What is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? To know the love of God. He's trying to get it across. This is what brings revival. This is what the Holy Spirit's praying in you. That this whole big revelation of who God is. And if you find out how much He loves you, there's no weakness in you towards one another. He says that you would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness. Everybody say fullness. In other words, if you get the love of God in its fullness, you get the whole enchilada. Hallelujah. You get the full package of who God is if you can receive the revelation of His love to you, how much He loves you, and then how much He wants to flow out of you. Because then it says this, "Now unto Him that is able to do," praising God, knowing this, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." And so we know this, and we broke down this before. That's not talking about a mystical, oh, give me goosebumps. God's able to do anything, isn't He? Yes, He is. But that's not in context with this. It's not talking about you brainstorming and thinking, God could make me the king of the world. Or God could make, you know, He could send me to another planet because He can do anything. Or I could, you know, just whatever, weigh out things. And God can do anything. But what this is talking about is He's trying to say, I'm trying to describe to you an incomprehensible love, which is God. You can't imagine it. You can't think of it. You can't, you don't even have the capacity to ask for it. Hey, how many are glad that we have somebody inside of us, the third person of the Godhead? He knows how to describe this love that He wants the Father to give to us that's already been distributed through Jesus Christ. But you and I, we can't even begin to comprehend it. So we can't, with faith, we can't even in faith ask for this love. And He says He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. In other words, He can take you outside of yourself through this power, which is the Holy Ghost, working in love, and give you the ability to receive. Just yield to God and walk into God and say, wow, I'm being pregnant. I'm being filled with destiny, purpose, and the call of God. Hallelujah. Let's continue on into the next chapter and find out. That's an edification right there. That's the edification of the Holy Spirit. That's His Spirit to your spirit. I'll just read. It won't take but a moment. Verse 1 of 4 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of the vocation, rather, wherewith you're called. That's your calling. Remember He mentioned the calling, that God would open our eyes for the calling. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, that's us. One Spirit should be a little less. That connects us is all this, the DNA of the new nature. One Spirit, even as you're called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore He saith, and this is talking about Christ, quoting, I believe, out of the Psalm. When He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same. This is the same one that descended, ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And He gave. Now it talks about here the fivefold ministry. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting. They do this. My ministry to you and anybody else in here that's called to the fivefold or anybody else that you're gleaning from, their ministry to you is for the perfecting of the saints. Now, I know, and we talk a lot about the edification process that takes place between you directly and the Holy Spirit. But here's an edification process. Here, this is the thing. You say, well, can I get it all from the Holy Spirit? Look, how many lifetimes do you have? How many lifetimes? This is why He put fivefold ministry so that while you were doing whatever you needed to be doing, I'm gleaning from Him and I'm taking what I've got and adding to you. And that's the edification process. I'm saying, I prayed this down. It's not new. It's always been here. But you connect with me and say, okay, I got something for you, Pastor. Wonderful. I've been on another vein of the word, but I can sure appreciate your vein. I can receive from yours. Now, the Holy Spirit prays for us, and that's edification. And what is He doing? He's building us up. Jude 20 says, on our most holy faith. He's also praying the prayer that we just prayed, where He's giving us revelation of the love of God that's incomprehensible. But listen, I'm an edification to you. You're an edification to me. I'm supposed to be taking what I have, giving unto you, thoroughly furnishing you so you can go out of these walls and do whatever you do and become whoever you're supposed to come in the hope of your calling. Can you say praise the Lord? He says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth, as a result of this edification that these men and women are putting in our life, along with the Holy Spirit, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But He says this, but speaking the truth, everybody say truth. Speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom? This head, Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted, that means supplied, by that which every joint, everybody in here say this, I am a joint.
Hallelujah. All right. He says, from the whole body is completely, is fitted to this head, joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the what? Has anybody got your Bible open? To the what? Thank you. Edifying. See, we see one edification here. How many are acquainted with the edification process of the Holy Spirit? That's something you do face to face with God. But here is an edification. It says there's an edification that takes place in the body of Christ, and that edification comes about by joints. Every joint supplying. Everybody, once again, help me. I am a joint to the body of Christ. Now, what is a... Okay, let's get real simple. What is a joint in the body? It is a what? Somebody said it. What? It's a connector. A joint is a connector. I'm looking at my finger here. I've got connecting this part. One, two, three joints in this finger, in the fingers. I've got another joint in the wrist. So I got four. I've got a joint in the elbow. Five. I've got a shoulder joint. Six. And then, of course, my torso is jointed in my back. I've got all these vertebrae that are joints that hold the, you know, the slim part of me together. And the joints in my hips and the joints in my thighs and the joints in my ankles and all my toes. And there's joints, joints, joints. But it's a connector. Sense. You're, wow, and I know he's speaking some real godly wisdom here. But I'm just going to have you all stand. Let's all stand. Because we got... No, wait. I'll tell you what. Sit back down. Sit back down. Because... Sit down, Otto, please. You're in rebellion once again. maybe you didn't have enough coffee this morning. But just listen for a moment. This is an exercise. And I saw this, and we need to do it. Okay? But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to coach you through it. Okay. Theoretically, and this may have some glitches in it anyway. Theoretically, this only work in a circular fashion. Rows won't work. Okay. I'm going to have you all stand up in a moment. And if you have a young child and you need to be seated, you might not be able to join the group. That's okay. If you're just mad at the world and you don't want to participate, then don't join the group. Okay. Whatever, but what we need to do is form, if there would have been a huge crowd here, what we'd have to do is form in rows of two, maybe, or outside or whatever. But what I want to do is I want us to stand and I want us to join. Probably it's going to be kind of, it'll be fine this way, it'll serve the example well. I want you to form a big circle in this church, and we'll face to the inner part of the sanctuary as if there was a pole there, or Jesus is there if you want to be real spiritual, and you're facing inward, and I want you to join hand to hand, okay? And I'll coach you through this if you get mixed up again. I want you to make sure that, and this is going to be kind of difficult for some of you, but I want to make sure that your look and see, make sure your right hand is in somebody's left hand, okay? And facing inward, that shouldn't be a big deal, okay? If there's glitches or whatever, we're not going to take all day in this, but I want you to stand with me now, okay? Back yourself up against the walls or wherever. If you've got a little kid and you need to sit, that's fine. If you're asleep, then just lay over now that you've got plenty of room. And this, everybody has got, okay, you guys are going to have to come around here to where that every part of the circle is... Yeah. Okay. I'm going to get in here too. I can hold Candy and Alex's hand. Oh, this is really good. Okay. Okay. Look to your right. Do you see their left shoulder? Okay. Hold hands. Everybody's got to hold hands if you're in the circle or sit down. And then look to your left and see that is their right shoulder. Is that okay? Okay. Wow. So this is all I wanted to show you. Okay, so you can sit down. No. The Bible says that we are connected. There's an edification process in the joints. It says the joints are what make up this edification process. Now, what I want you to do is, I want you, in just a moment, on the three count, and I'm going to go one, two, and I'm going to say Jesus, and that'll be the three count. On the three count, I'm going to ask you to squeeze with your right hand. Only about a 2 or 3 second squeeze. Make it really nice. And I want you to do this. I want you to imagine that this is your love affair, your communion. Marty, you got to get down here and get in this too. I want you to experience the experience. Everybody, just think about this. I want your right hand to symbolize your love affair with Jesus Christ. I want you to think about when you do this, your praise to Him, your worship to Him, everything that you receive from Him, just talking to Him on a daily basis, when you say, I love you. And I want you to just forget about necessarily your left hand, and I want you to pour into your right hand just your affection and your love for Jesus Christ, because this right hand is your hand of affection to Christ. Now, obviously, what I'm going to tell you in just a moment is that your left hand is your hand to the body of Christ, your brother, your sister, your joint heir with Christ, those that you're seated with Him in heavenly places. But right now, let's just center upon Jesus, and I'm going to count 1, 2, and I'm going to say Jesus, and I want you to gently squeeze and just really imagine that you're really squeezing the hand of Jesus with your right hand. 1, 2, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. How many of you know you squeeze the hand of Christ with your right hand? Did you notice anything else? What? The moment that you squeezed Jesus' hand and paid any adoration and affection, and the moment that you gave to Him your left hand, which was the body of Christ, was also jointly connected to you and receiving something from you. Did you feel that in your left hand? Even though your right hand was concentrated on, or your heart was concentrated. Okay, so you're already ahead of me on this, but I want you to kind of forget about Jesus for just a moment. And I want you to, this is your going to pray for somebody. This is your congenial word of love. This is what God has shown me lately from the Word. This is your slip $20 in their pocket. This is your visit them in prison, visit them in hospital. This is your connection to the body of Christ. And I just want you to kind of think about trying to leave Jesus out of it. And with your left hand on the three count, I want you to congenially just minister to your brother or sister in Christ. 1, 2, Jesus, squeeze. Okay. Did you notice, again, that once while you were squeezing, once you were ministering, that your right hand was being squoze? There's no way around it. Your receiving and giving is simultaneously. Once you're jointed, listen, if you enter into this edification process, listen, people, prayer, we teach a lot about prayer around here, seclusion and prayer. Prayer is not the end of all things. It's the beginning. We go in so we can come out. We go in so we can be connected. I can't go any higher in God than what I'm willing to integrate myself with you and pour my life out into you. Hallelujah. You did real good. Be seated. That's not the end of the service. Hallelujah. How many got ministered to by somebody? Find your seat. Let me read verse 16 again. Maybe you've got your Bible there. You guys did really good. I thought somebody was going to get left and right messed up. That's the only way you could have done it, is just turned outward from the rest of everybody. From whom the whole body is fitly joined, this head, which is Christ, compacted by that which every joint supplieth. That every connector is supplying something. Listen, when you spend time with God, because I want you to understand something this morning. I once ministered to a man who was just a few days from dying. He said to me, and I didn't know he was a few days from dying, but I was there on a divine destiny. And he was ready, and he went to meet the Lord within a few days, and he's there with him. One of the things that he said to me was, I don't know why I was put here. He basically said, I never discovered my purpose. And I was able to minister to him, and we found peace together. And within a few days, he went into that place of peace. My friend, I want to tell you something. God wants you to know something this morning. He wants you to live your life knowing that the greatest part of your life is that destiny and that hope of your calling. Now let's define that calling for just a moment. Because once you spend any time with God, you feel this pregnancy of, I'm supposed to do something. I've got something inside of me. Recently, I've been so blessed, and especially by preparing for this message, things have come to me, and if God wasn't necessarily giving me ammunition for this message, it was just coming to me because this is His heart. I recently spent some time with a friend of mine who shared with me an experience that he had with his son. In this experience, it was an intimate experience. He was able to be humbled in this experience. He was taught in it. And he also sowed seeds of righteousness and peace and ongoing destiny into the purpose of his son's life. I was blessed to be a part of that sharing and brought into their lives. But I thought about in contemplation afterwards, I thought, had this man walked off a stage in Calcutta, India, and ministered to 10,000 people, or let's say 10,000 converts came to know the Lord, and there were notable miracles, and that person got back to their hotel room and they were feeling the pleasure of God, like pleasure of God comes when God says, I'm so pleased by what you did. I realized in the equality of God, who God is, and His divine call for our life, and that destiny that is there, and us being connectors. I'm a connector. I'm a connector to God, but I'm also connected to you in that example. So we feel like we're supposed to go do something. I've got a divine destiny inside of me. What is my purpose, Pastor? I got something on the inside of me, especially when you come out of those places where you feel like I feel fat with destiny on the side of me. That's right. But the biggest part of that fatness may be achieved before 2 o'clock in the afternoon. What are you saying? Our whole purpose of mankind is to receive from Him and give to the edification process of building something else in somebody else. And I realized when that person was telling me this, I realized they could not have given God greater pleasure in winning the world anymore. There was no more pleasure in winning the masses than sowing seed of life and grace into someone that was, in a certain sense, less than them in age and at that point maturity, and yet they were a connector. A few weeks ago, Deanne was, well, I can share this. When she called and she was talking about that they had this opportunity that they were singing with the boys and stuff, she began to share about the anointing that was there, not just here for what we as an audience, but just the connection of being a part of their life and seeing where they were going. And she began to weep because she was a part of something that was a destiny for them in their life. And I thought about, God, this is who you are. This is who we are in the body of Christ. Our supreme call, our entire call is this. This edification that is in us is continually to be given out. We're, as I said, listen, we teach. I believe divinely so. Seclusion. Go find a prayer closet and get in it. But that's not the end of it. You don't get in that closet so you can stay in it. You get in it so you can come out of it and say, I went in so I got something to give. I don't live my life in seclusion because, listen, if anybody says to you, I'm separating myself from the body so he can take me to a higher place, according to this, it's impossible. It's not my separation. Oh, short seasons of fasting and prayer or being away a little while. It's not my separation that brings forth me going higher in God. It's my willingness to be integrated with you. And I thought about what Deanne said. It was like, to some people, it was like, what's so big about that? And what was big about it was hear her part as a older lady, not an old lady, but an older lady watching young men in their development and her giving something as a part of them coming up. And I'm watching this connection in the body of Christ. And the body of Christ needs to understand this. He's edifying you. But understand this. If you feel like, oh, Pastor, oh, God, what is my destiny? I can tell you. What is this divine, this hope of this divine calling that's inside of you? It's to be so connected with one another. Jesus said, look, if you do this, let me say it this way. If you meet a man on his journey, and I'm not talking about he's being arrogant. If he gets off the plane and he says, and you say, where you been? What you been doing? Well, I just went and I've been on a 6-month crusade. Thousands have been born again. Thousands have received Christ, and great and notable things have been taking place. And he says to you, not out of arrogance, what have you been doing? And you realize that only things that you've been doing in the last 30 days is you went and prayed for some sick people. You encouraged some people to keep the faith and keep going and stay connected and not lose hope. See, Jesus said this. He said, when you do this to the least of men, you've done it unto me. Wait a minute. You didn't get that. When you do it to people, when you minister to people behind the scenes, and you can get nothing out of it as far as fanfare, but it's just your connection to the body of Christ, Jesus said, the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me. You still don't have it. You think Jesus says that kind of stuff just to encourage you. How many of you know he cannot lie? I'll say something to you and say, you're the greatest guy in the world. Now, yeah, you are, but I'm first and you're second. But Jesus doesn't say anything off the cuff. If Jesus says, I'm going to go tell my Father, you just ministered unto me, and nobody in the world knows what you just did, I would rather have that kind of appreciation than everybody in the world knowing what I did. And I have seen preachers fall flat on their face from an observation because they'd say, I got destiny. Oh, God, I don't know what I'm supposed to go do. I feel like, oh, I'm supposed to go run with this. I don't know what. I've seen them resign their church and do and just like go for it and go. And then they're just, you don't ever hear from them anymore. They're shipwrecked. Because so often people misinterpret that fatness of destiny and your divine call. That divine call may be fulfilled for the day by 2 o'clock in the afternoon when you've just ministered and poured out yourself because you've kept yourself connected. You're that joint that is supplying edification to the rest of the body. Hallelujah. And the grandeur of, wow, maybe I'm supposed to minister to a king. Ministering to a king would not be as important to God as ministering to your son or daughter if that's what you're supposed to be doing at the moment. And pouring in that joint that flows from here to there. Because that's your divine call. And that's what we're called for. Praise God for my prayer closet. But my prayer closet is only so I can come out here. I love it. The Bible says that there were times, yes, I preached Jesus had a prayer life, but there were times the Bible says they were so busy that they could not even eat. You talking about that's better than a slim fast diet. I believe there were seasons where he went through, I mean, as he went, he prayed, but there may have been weeks where he did not steal away. Because it was like, go, 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 win, 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 win. And we're not teaching anything opposite. We're just teaching you prayer is the beginning. It's not the end. Prayer takes you out there so that you're connected. We're not teaching prayer so you can go in and stay there. We're teaching prayer so you can go in there, get what you get, come out and say, I've got something to deliver to the rest of the body. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Amen. I feel like taking up another offering now. Hallelujah. No, Pastor, you're getting past yourself again like you're preaching. You fulfilled your call this morning. Just stop right there. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, I got a voice. You got a voice. The extremity. Of locking yourself away and not becoming a part. You could climb the Tibetan hills, take you a week to get up there, somewhere in the Himalayas. Is the Himalayas in Tibet? Okay. I don't know. Okay. You get up in there and you see this. How many of you ever saw that movie with Sean Connery where he was the monk that was... Nobody. Okay. Anyway, he went up into Tibet and he had this sidekick and he was the monk. And so you get there to this monastery. You get to this monastery. It looks like a castle. I traveled through Europe, through Poland, and I saw all these castles. They were, they look majestic, but they look scary too. Because I knew there was people in there, but they were high. I mean, at one time, people, they hid themselves away. Can you imagine anything more opposite than the truth? A monk, you get there and you knock on the door. I've come here to give my life. I'm not chasing women anymore. For the rest of my life, this is it. I'm going to hide myself away. Nobody will talk to you. Why? Because they've taken a vow of silence. They've christened their tongue and said, I will speak to nobody else but God. And that sounds so religious. It sounds like, you and God locked away forever? And Jesus said just the opposite. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Stay connected to one another. Edify one another. Let the life that is in you flow from you to others. Let their life flow from them to you. Give and it shall be given. Keep connected. Stay with one another. Stay in that place because as you do, not only will He grow in you,
but you'll help others grow up too. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Do you know, and if Jesus gets so, if he said that you could not give a cup of cool water. Now, here's something else that you might pass off. All these little sayings of Jesus, you could think, oh, nice encouragement. Appreciate it, Jesus. You're so sweet. If you say with all truth, bless you. Bless you. And you believe that he's in the power of your words. You pray for that person riding the bicycle or going down the street and you bless them in the name of Jesus and ask that God will follow them to the ends of the world and get them born again. If he will not forget and in eternity give you a reward for a cup of cool water that you give to someone in his name that is doing his work, do you not think that he'll hear your prayers, the least of your prayers? So I bless you all. I bless you out of Zion in Jesus' name. I bless you out of Zion, out of that holy hill. I bless you in Jesus' name. Be blessed.